Welcome to Philly Sportsline with your host, Michael Carney, and my co-host, Henry Kern. On our shows, we will be speaking about all the latest Philly sports news, ranging from the Eagles to the Sixers, Phillies, and even some Flyers. Today will be our first show. We will be focusing on the Philadelphia Eagles offseason. Big offseason, you know, with the replacement of Doug Peterson, and, you know, got rid of some of the key coaching figures, kept your GM and Howie Roseman, and, yeah, he brought a new guy in. Henry, how do you feel about how things have gone?
Overall, definitely something different, but I think so far things are pretty exciting. It's going to be a new team out there for the next couple of years. And it might be a new rebuilding phase that the Eagles have to experience, but I feel like it'll be an exciting couple of years with some of our young pieces that we have.
Yeah, you bring a guy in, Sirianni, you know, big difference. You know, he worked with the Colts organization. It's actually funny enough where Carson Wentz has gone now. I think a lot of people slept on the Carson Wentz trade and how it ended up. I think we got good assets out of there. I don't know if you agree or not, but I think taking a first round possibly for next year, I think overall that's going to help the development of this rebuilding team.
Yeah, I think overall there wasn't much more you were going to get for him, especially after everyone, it was known that Carson Wentz was wanted out. I feel like getting a potential first and a second round pick in 2022 was good value. And we could have eventually used those picks to either draft someone or move up and get someone else if we find necessary. So I feel like you got good value for someone who everyone knew was leaving your team.
And I think moving forward with Jalen Hurts, I like Hurts. I think I'm hoping he stays the quarterback. Really hope we don't look to draft somebody this year, and maybe we give Hurts a chance and see if he can be successful here.
Yeah, I like Hurts too, but I don't know. The way that Howie and the Eagles organization is kind of talking about it, I feel like they're not 100% sold on him. Because you heard the whole thing about them potentially wanting to move up to draft Zach Wilson. That was a whole question mark for me. But I feel like we have to give at least Jalen Hurts 1 or 2 years to have the control over this offense and see what he does. And then after that, if he's not the answer, still not doing performing the way we want him to, then we can look to move on. But doing so so shortly after trading, after giving him the shot, would it be smart?
See, I get it with all this media that's coming about Howie and Jeff Lurie, how much, you know, they're getting hate and stuff. But I think people underestimate Howie's abilities. Like, sure, he didn't necessarily have a great draft the past few years, but the guy still is one of the best GMs in the league. Like, you can't just deny his ability to create teams. I think these next two drafts, it will be real successful. I really am expecting, you know, some key picks in these drafts.
Yeah, I feel like Howie's done a good job overall in free agency the last couple of years, and even this year, I can say. But I feel like our draft, we have to do a better job bringing in young players from the drafts. I feel like we get a few and once in a while, but we missed out on far too many that could be beneficial to our teams. But I do like the signing that I think we're going to get into, of Anthony Harris and the linebacker from Minnesota, and even Joe Flacco, a good experienced backup quarterback that can give Hurts a run for his money and keep him on that tip-top shape type of thing. So I feel like he's done good in free agency, but I feel like overall there has to be a little bit better job of drafting young prospects.
Thanks, Henry. We're going to go ahead and take a real quick break, and when we get back, we'll get right into the Eagles free agency.
America, your children have an amazing superpower. That's right. They can help save lives by simply washing their hands. Just 20 seconds of thorough hand washing after they've coughed or sneezed or been outside can help fight against the dastardly spread of germs. Armed with only soap and water and hands, your superhero can protect you, your family, and everyone out there in America land. Amazing! Find out more at coronavirus.gov. A message from the CDC and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Philly Sports Line.
You spoke of Anthony Harris. I think he's probably one of the biggest names we signed. Even though he's not a huge name, he's probably the best person we signed. And he's definitely a quality safety. I mean, he's not necessarily coming off a good season, but he's been pretty successful with the Vikings. He's a good quality starter who can make the plays that you need him to make when you put him in situations. I think he comes in, he's going to be a day one starter, especially with McLeod being injured and on top of that being injury prone. I'm just interested to see who pairs up beside him. But I think overall Anthony Harris is a key quality player you signed for cheap.
Yeah, I really like Anthony Harris. I feel like he's a good playmaker and a good solid safety, and I feel like we kind of needed that. And I think him, whoever he pairs up with, whether it's Rodney when he's back healthy, or even Kayvon Wallace, if he can step up and make a fight for that starting position, I feel like that would be a very good safety tandem. And it's up to the defensive backs and the defensive coordinators to tie that all together to have a good secondary that we haven't had in Philly for a while now. So
yeah, Harris is a nice physical safety. He's going to make the big plays in the secondary for us. He's definitely going to give a cushion to Darius Slay and whoever's across from him. Overall, I think he's a great signing. I think another person you got to speak of, though, is the other safety we signed this offseason, Andrew Adams. Andrew Adams, a big special teamer for Tampa Bay, but he also started he started for them a few seasons ago. He's a great special teams player, but if you need him to step up, he's going to make that jump for you. He's more on the older side. He's not necessarily young. But, you know, I think it's still a key signing that you got for a really cheap deal.
I agree. It's a good depth signing. And Philly's had pretty good special teams the last couple years, and I feel like this is just a continuation of that. And if he ever needs to jump in there, he's going to be more than equipped to do that. And we get some good experience, good winning mentality just coming off the Super Bowl. So I feel like it's a good signing. And I feel like our safety room is actually in really good shape right now.
Now, by making these two signings, I think it was pretty obvious they're trying to make up for the loss of Jalen Mills, who ultimately ended up with the Patriots. I really liked Jalen Mills when he was here. I thought he was a great player. I thought he played really well in the Super Bowl. And I think even after that, he played pretty well. It's sad to see him go. I think he was a real Philly guy. I'm hoping, you know, I think overall, though, I think Anthony Harris is probably a better safety and probably provides a lot more, you know, playmaking ability than Jalen Mills had.
I agree. It's really sad to see the Green Goblin himself go. But, you know, I feel like for most of Jalen Hurts' time in Philly, he was misunderstood. We had him at corner for such a long time, and that's just – I don't feel like he's equipped to play that position. I always thought he was more of a safety-type build. So I feel like he's gonna do good in New England, but it's definitely sad to see him go. But I'm very happy with the upgrade that we made with Anthony Harris in that position.
And then Andrew Adams is coming in to replace somebody like Rudy Ford. Rudy Ford was a real key special teamer for us. But I think Andrew Adams is overall an upgrade. Not only is Andrew Adams now coming in to be a key special teamer, he's also going to be a huge addition because he can be the backup safety now. The guy can play snaps on the field when you need him to play. The only issue is, you know, will he be able to take that step to be, you know, a key starter if needed? That's the one question mark you would have. Say, like, somebody like Kayvon goes down or even Marcus Epps. Will Andrew Adams be able to make that leap to be a quality every down starter?
Yeah, that's the big question mark so far. But I feel like, though it sucks to lose Rudy Ford, he's a lot younger than Adams, but I feel like overall his experience is going to be a lot more beneficial if he needs to be plugged into that safety spot. And I feel like he would be better equipped to do so than Rudy Ford.
Just moving on, I think a big surprise a lot of people had was when Joe Flacco was signed. And it wasn't necessarily people were surprised about a quarterback being signed. It was more so the mentality of when he came in. It was almost like he was competing for the quarterback job instead of, you know, coming in to be that veteran backup for Hurts. Seems like Flacco's, you know, he's a native guy. He's from, you know, Audubon, real close to home. He's now back, you know, in his area. He's going to come play for the home team. But he could have an opportunity to start for the home team, which I think is it really throws a curveball on everybody's idea of how the Eagles are moving this season.
Yeah, I think overall Flacco, he's not going to be the start of this team. Like, yeah, I mean, they probably told him he's coming in to compete, but I think him and everyone else in that organization knows the only time he's getting in is if Jalen Hurts goes down. But I do like the signing overall because he's a hometown guy, and first off, and then you also get that experience to be able to mentor and teach Jalen Hurts. Although they have very different playing styles, Joe Flacco has been in this league for a long time, and he knows a lot of stuff that he can teach Jalen Hurts and show him the ropes kind of thing and get him better equipped to be a starting quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, whether you like Flacco or not, he's a Super Bowl quarterback. He played in the Super Bowl at least once. The guy played really well. I mean, he's had a few bad seasons. He's been a backup for a few seasons. If you look at his Jets season, you're going to say he played bad, but you got to realize the guy was coming off an injury. I think overall Flacco's a good quality backup to have. Sure, he might not be in his prime anymore. He won't be, you know, the starting quarterback that everyone would want. I overall don't think he should be the starter, but there's so many unknowns about this Eagles roster right now in the organization. You really don't know what's going to happen. Anything could happen at this point, and I don't know. I just think overall, I think you got to expect the unexpected and see where Flacco goes from, you know, the summer into the start of the season.
Yeah, I think overall, anyone that's on the Jets, starting quarterback for the Jets, would look terrible because that whole organization is in deep trouble right now. But I feel like Flacco still has a little bit left in the tank, although I don't think it's enough to be the starting quarterback. I think he's going to be a serviceable backup for the next couple of years. And I mean, that's pretty much all the Eagles need right now. We need someone like a Nick Foles, although as much as I miss Nick Foles, Joe Flacco is that type of build. He's an experienced quarterback that if he needs to be plugged in, he can get the job done. And that's a good backup plan to have. So good signing overall. I like it.
Well, let me ask you this. Does Joe Flacco have what Nick Foles had, and is he going to be able to come in and carry, like, say we're, like, midway through the season and we're, let's go, 7-2. Would he be able to, you know, keep it going and take us farther into the playoffs and even the Super Bowl, or do you think he's going to come in and we'll just fall immediately?
See, Joe Flacco's, he's the type of quarterback that where he won't get you in trouble. Like, he won't be turning the ball over 24/7, but he's just like a game manager. He'll manage a game, but he's not going to be able to carry the game on your back like Nick Foles did in our Super Bowl run. And I feel like that's all you can expect when you bring in, when your starting quarterback goes down. You can't expect him to go win you the Super Bowl. Although we got very fortunate with Nick Foles, like, really good run, but I feel like that's very unlikely that Joe Flacco would be able to do that. But I do think that if Joe Flacco does come in, he'll be a serviceable quarterback till our starter gets healthy again. And I feel like he won't lose you games. He won't be the single-handedly the reason you lost the game, but he won't go and win you games. He'll be like a game manager.
Yeah, I think Flacco could definitely – I agree with you. He's a game manager at this point in his career. I think overall, if you really – if it came down to it, I don't know if he's going to take you to the Super Bowl. I don't know if he's even going to take you to the playoffs. But the guy definitely could, you know, show up. He's not – he's an older guy, but you'd never know in this league anymore. Tom Brady's in his 40s, and he just won another Super Bowl. So, I don't know. Yeah, at this point in life, you got to expect the unexpected.
Yeah, moving like, on. Who expected Nick Foles to win us the Super Bowl? We all thought he was washed, so you can't expect anything less from Joe Flacco. So,
yeah, after that Raiders game, Nick Foles played in our Super Bowl year, everybody thought it was over. Everybody thought the season was over. And then this guy goes into the playoffs and wins the whole thing for us. So, and now he has his own statue. So, it's that type of league. You gotta expect the unexpected. Players can play with a chip on their shoulder, and you know, Flacco might be looking for another Super Bowl. Who knows? Moving on, a key player we brought back, depth player. I don't know if everybody's gonna know who he is, but Hassan Ridgeway. He's definitely a quality player, quality backup. He's not gonna play a huge amount of snaps for you, but I think overall, he'll get like 20 snaps a game maybe. And he'll play well in those snaps. He's definitely a quality backup. He's only 26, and he's coming back for another season. So, and he's also coming from the Colts with Jonathan Gannon, who's our new defensive coordinator.
Yeah, I think overall, just another bringing more people in that could do trouble or cause like trouble on that defensive line is always a good idea. And Ridgeway, he's not a stud. But he's a good depth signing that's going to give you good solid snaps, and that's pretty much all you can ask for at what we got him for. So I like the bringing him back.
And to speak on some of the latest signings, just a week or two ago, we brought back Jordan Howard, big running back addition. He was with the Miami last season, played for us in what was it, the 2018 season? 2018 season, Jordan Howard. He's a great power back. At one point, he was probably one of the best running backs in the league. And, I mean, with us, he kind of fell off, which it's sad to see. But I think he's definitely a good player. I think he can definitely get back into form where he was. He's definitely overall still a quality depth running back who I think him and Miles Sanders, if we really focus on the run game this season, they could tear it up.
Yeah, I agree. I feel like overall Jordan Howard, we got him on after he was done his good years in Chicago. He's still in it. He still should be in his prime, but he's had a couple bad years, and sure, he's a power back that will get you a few touchdowns when you're in the red zone, but hasn't been what he once was, but I feel like still at a young age, I believe he's 26 years old. He can always snap out of that and always give us something more. But I think even if he doesn't, he's a red zone power back. And being that our backs don't really have that right now, I feel like he complements them very well. So I feel like having Jordan Howard in that backfield will always be a good thing, complementing like Boston Scott and Miles Sanders. So I like the idea of bringing him back.
Yeah, 26 years old. He signed a really cheap deal. I think it was like roughly $1 million. And he said in his press conference he thought about retirement. That's how very few offers he was getting, which a 26-year-old guy who was just a few years ago probably one of the best running backs in the league, it's crazy to see. It just shows like how weird this league is, but it happens. Overall, I think you're getting a quality player who can definitely regain their form in our with this team. I don't think he played bad with us. I just don't think he had the opportunity to be the same player he was with Chicago. I think we got him for a cheap deal when we traded for him. I think we're getting him for a cheap deal to bring him back. Overall, it's definitely a quality signing. Another signing that just shows we're thinking about not only now, but we're thinking about the future as well. With, I think, almost every player we've brought in so far has been at least 28 or younger. So, mm-hmm. I think moving on, Eric Wilson, huge signing. I think that's arguably the second best signing we've made all this offseason. Eric Wilson from the Vikings again, him and Anthony Harris. Eric Wilson, linebacker. Had a huge season, had 122 tackles last season. Really stood out due to injuries. 8 passes defended, 3 sacks. I think that also went along with, 3 interceptions? Had a great breakout season. He's also 26. You're getting a young guy for a I don't believe it was too expensive a contract. Bring him in on a 1-year rental. I think it's overall a great signing.
I like the signing, getting some more pieces in that linebacking core. But the thing that worries me with Eric Wilson is, although he's really, really good in the passing game, whenever he's one of the like worst run defending linebackers in the league, and it doesn't make sense to me. He's a big physical guy and he's pretty fast too. So the fact that he can't handle the run that well is very confusing to me. But I feel like overall it's a good signing. We needed more pieces in our linebacking core. And I feel like him with Alex Singleton will complement each other, because Alex Singleton is a very physical kind of, he can stop the run, and Eric Wilson is more of a passing game kind of linebacker. So I think they complement each other very well, and he's still young, so they can still grow, because our linebacking core is fairly young altogether. So I think they can complement each other very well, and he can give us some solid snaps. Although I think his numbers are a bit inflated, because you're playing with that stud linebacking core over in Minnesota, and we don't necessarily have that, and he's going to kind of be expected to be the guy in Philly. So it might be a little bit different, but I think he can give us some good snaps.
Yeah, you definitely bring him over, because we had arguably one of the worst pass defending linebacking corps for the last 2 years. So I think he's a quality addition. He's somebody who's going to match up against running backs and tight ends, and he's definitely going to be successful against them. There's a bit of a worry with him against the run. I understand that. I wouldn't necessarily be too worried about that. Are his numbers inflated? Maybe a tad bit, but I think if you're bringing him in and he's going to put up at least a 90 tackle season with maybe an interception or two and like 6 or 7 passes defended, I think that's successful. I think that's still a quality signing. And even you could bring him back even after that, because this kid's still young. He's 26. I mean, yeah, he's going to have a lot to work with. He's going to have a lot to work on. He's going to have to provide a big payload of work. But overall, I think he's prepared for it. I think he showed himself with Minnesota. And I think coming here, he'll be able to do the same thing. I'm really not too worried about it.
No, yeah, I agree. I like him as a player. I like the contract we got him out of him. He seems like a really high character guy, and I feel like in that locker room, that could help us a lot. And it never hurts to have one of those guys. So, and we got him for a fairly cheap amount. So I think it's a good signing overall.
And that really wraps up free agency. Overall, I'd probably give it a solid B+. I think it was a pretty successful. It wasn't a whole huge list of signings. Wasn't any big name signings. But I think you got quality key players who can play a lot of snaps for you and be successful. And I think that's really what you need out of free agency.
I think we didn't necessarily have the cap space that where we could have been big players in free agency, but with the how much we had, I think we did a good amount of work. So I would give it probably the same range, probably around a B, maybe a B+, depending on how I'm feeling. But I feel like we didn't get the quantity that some teams got, but we got good quality players, and that's pretty much all we could get with our cap situation.
We're going to go ahead and take a real quick break, and then we'll get right back into the NFL draft.
Hey, is that a faucet running?
Nope, that's not a faucet. That's a river rushing through the forest.
It is?
Yeah, forest rivers provide over 100 million people with clean water to drink. The water comes straight from the forest to us, in fact.
What? I can't hear you because of the vacuum.
That's not a vacuum. That's the trees in the forest cleaning up the air we breathe.
How do trees clean the air?
They soak up the dirty air on their leaves, branches, and trunks, which means clean air for us.
Cool. I didn't know that.
Yep. But the forest does more than give us clean air and water. It gives us shade for hot days, birds to listen to, and trees to climb.
Wow, that's awesome. I didn't know how cool the forest could be. Hey, let's go explore some more.
Visit the forest today and enjoy all it does just for you. To learn more about the forest and find one near you, Go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Philly Sportsline.
Moving on to the elephant in the room, coming up within the coming weeks, draft day. Day one of the draft is coming up. Eagles traded their sixth pick to drop it back to 12. There's now talks of the Eagles trading back up into the top 10, which I think overall is crazy because we just traded out. But, you know, if the Eagles are going to have something in mind that they're going to do, if they think it's going to make the organization better, I'm not against it. I think there's a lot of big names in this draft, a lot of people you can get at that 12th pick, a lot of good players you can get out that 12th pick at least. I'm really big on some of the defensive players. I'm big on some of the wide receivers. But overall, as long as you're bringing somebody in who's going to be a key player who's going to play to the talent that they're supposed to be playing at, I'm all go for it. So this team has so many needs. I'll take whatever need they feel is the most needed. I don't know how you feel about the whole draft idea.
Listen, I'm probably a little bit more skeptical. I don't really like the trade back as much because, I mean, it could change, though. Because right now, the two top players on my board, and I feel like I would love the Eagles to have that they probably won't have a chance to get anymore, is Kyle Pitts and Ja'Marr Chase. And I feel like if the draft board works out on draft day that they are gone before we even pick, then sure, I would agree trading back is the right option. But I feel like doing that so soon isn't the right move, because like you could have, if you stay at six and Kyle Pitts or Ja'Marr Chase falls right into your lap, like you're ecstatic at that point. But now you never have that opportunity to find out, and sure, you get good assets back, and sure, there could be a player of value at pick 12, but they're not going to be like the generational type player that Kyle Pitts and Ja'Marr Chase that could change your complete offense. And I just feel like they could have waited on trading back, although I agree that if those two players aren't on your board, you can trade back and get the same value of player. But I feel like they just should have waited till closer to draft time or draft day, to be exact.
Now, see, the issue is if they waited, would they have gotten the same amount of things that they got? I believe they got a first-round pick next year and then also like a third. I don't know if they would have got that if they waited. That's just my opinion. I think trading up, if you can trade up and not have to trade a first round pick, I think overall it was a great idea. If you wanted to trade up, say like a Kyle Pitts falls like to number 8 or 9, I would be all good to trade up to that pick. I think Kyle Pitts, honestly, if we stayed at the 6th pick, I would have loved Kyle Pitts. I think Kyle Pitts is a generational player. I know everybody's saying it, but I really believe it. The guy's a star tight end. The guy can play wide receiver, which this team really needs a big body right now. So overall, I really like Kyle Pitts, but Kyle Pitts probably wouldn't have been there at 6. So I like the move back. I think at 12 you have a lot more options, which I think we should just get into. So my big board right now is I would have J.C. Horn out of South Carolina at number 1. And then I would have Devonta Smith at number 2, which I think it's crazy. Devonta Smith is now falling out of the top 10. But Devonta Smith at number 2, Patrick Surtain at 3, and then Waddle at 4, which I think that's everybody's. All four of those guys are on everybody's Eagles big board right now, but that's just my ranking. I don't know if you have a different list, Henry, or you got people in different places.
I think our number ones are pretty spot on. I think J.C. Horn is probably the best. He's, in my opinion, the best defensive player in this draft. But I feel like he's number 1 for sure. Devontae Smith, he's definitely in my top 3. And I mean, Waddle would be in there too, but I think Surtain's another good option that we could go. We could that might be there at 12. He probably would be probably in my two, and then Smith would be my three, and then Waddle my four, and then I think Mac Wilson definitely would be my five if he's there. Because although we made a signing of Eric Wilson to kind of help our linebacking core, I feel like having a generational linebacker that can be the leader of this defense would be very beneficial to our team. But I know the Eagles aren't really fond of drafting linebackers early, so I don't necessarily think that's going to happen. But it would be nice to see. But yeah, I think overall J.C. Horn is the best defensive player that we could get, and I feel like he can have some. Not Jalen Ramsey success, but Jalen Ramsey type build, and he can a physical corner who can also keep up with you and cover. So I feel like he would be a stud pick for us if he's there.
Yeah, overall, I think let me just go over Jalen Horn a little bit. He's truly my favorite defender in this draft due to just how well he plays. The guy's a real good physical cornerback who's not going to let you make the easy catches. He's 6'1", 205. I think, what did he run, a 4.39 at his pro day? Guy's got speed. Guy has the physical capability to be a number one corner in this league. I think he compares really well to Jalen Ramsey, which if he turns out like a Jalen Ramsey, that would be a great quality pick at 12. Arguably the best pick in the draft. J.C. Horn, personally my favorite defender. The only issue is, and I know a lot of people are saying this, can he stay out of trouble with the penalties? He was known in college for having a few pass interference calls, being a real handsy guy who, keeps grabbing at wide receivers. But I think that's something you can fix, and over time, if you fix that, the guy could arguably become the best cornerback in the league. Compared to Patrick Surtain, Patrick Surtain might be a lot more NFL ready, which that's what a lot of people are saying right now. But does he have as high of a ceiling? Which that's what I think everybody's concern is right now. He can be a quality starter now, but can he be a quality superstar within the next few years?
I think J.C. Horn is like the freak athlete that you want in every draft. Man, he's 6'1", 205 pounds, right? That's a big size corner. Not only that, you would think big size corner, oh, he can't run, he's just a physical type of guy. Well, J.C. Horn is one of the most physical corners I've seen, and he also runs a 4.39 and went a 41 vertical jump. Like, he's a freak athlete, and I feel like if when you're drafting someone to change your team, you need freak athletes like J.C. Horn. And sure, he has some penalty issues, but like it wasn't that big of a concern. And I feel like it's something that you can work with him on. I'd rather be able to teach someone not to grab as much rather than get like teach them how to not get burnt. Like there's things that J.C. Horn does that are so much better than all these other corners, and you can just easily teach J.C. how to not grab and how to not cause penalties. And I feel like that would be a more beneficial way to go than drafting someone like Patrick Surtain, who's more NFL ready and doesn't have the upside that Horn does. Plus, Horn has the NFL bloodline. So I feel like he's been around football his whole life. He has the mentality that is needed. He has that like Jalen Ramsey type of trash-talking type of mentality that I would like to see from corners. So I feel like he's the best player that we can get at 12, without a doubt for me.
Yeah, speaking of the corners, Patrick Surtain, I think he's a quality player. I almost think he goes higher, though. I think the Cowboys look at him and say they had such a bad secondary last season. I think Patrick Surtain will be the draft pick for the Cowboys. Now, I still don't think Patrick Surtain is – I think he's going to be a good player. I don't know if he's ever going to be like a top player, though, in the league. And you mentioned bloodline. They both have bloodlines in football. Both their dads played. Which one was better? They played two different sides of the ball, so you can't really compare. Overall, I think they're both going to be really good players. I just think J.C. Horn will end up being the better player. But that's not saying that Patrick Surtain can't be a great player in this league. I also think if you don't want to go cornerback in the first round, I think you could wait and you could get somebody like Asante Samuel Jr., who also has bloodline in football and also was a great player for the Seminoles. I think overall, if you wanted to wait till the second round, you can get him. If you want to wait even later, you could get somebody like Kelvin Joseph, who's a slept-on guy, or even another freak athlete like Ifeatu Melifonwu from Syracuse. Sorry, I can't pronounce the name too well. 6'3", 213. I think the guy ran a really fast 40, too. He's a huge athlete at cornerback, and you could get him in late second or even the third. Another guy like Eric Stokes. I just think there's a lot of depth at corner this year. I love J.C. Horn, but if you don't get him, I think there's more cornerback options in the later rounds.
Yeah, I do agree that I like Asante Samuel Jr. and feel like he would be a good option later. And there's definitely some better options, good options later. But I think J.C. Horn can be a generational talent if he's developed properly. And I would absolutely hate if he falls into the hands of the Dallas Cowboys. So I'm hoping he gets to us, but I it's looking more and more like he isn't. But if he does, I feel like he's a generational talent. If he doesn't, there's always different options. You can always go to Devontae Smith and get a cornerback later and address those needs later. But it would just suck to see J.C. Horn fall into enemy hands. That's all I can say.
Nah, I completely agree. I don't think they're going to go Horn. If they go Horn, I don't know what I would do. I already hate the Cowboys. I don't know if you can hate them more than hate. So, anyways, moving on to my other two people, the other two people on both our boards. You look at somebody like Devonta Smith, Heisman winner, and he's just falling out of the top 10, which it really doesn't make sense to me. People are so hung up on his size. The guy's 6'1", but he only weighs 175. That's not that big of a deal when it comes down to it. Like, I don't know. I can see Devonta Smith as almost being what Jeremy Maclin should have been if he never got hurt. Devonta Smith is such a great route runner, plays such a great game, has the speed, has the hands, just an overall talent that I don't know how he's going to slip out of the top 10. Ja'Marr Chase is a great player. He's a great, great athlete. Devonta Smith is a great football player, and there is no denying that. He's a Heisman winner. The guy put up consecutive 200-yard games in college with a quarterback like Mac Jones. And that's not saying Mac Jones is bad, but Mac Jones is not a good quarterback. He's not a top-tier, NFL elite superstar.
Yeah, I agree. I think Devonta Smith is definitely – he's a game-changer. And he's one of those players that you can throw a bubble screen to, and he takes it 99 yards to the house. So, and when you get players like that that is consistently wowing you, and he still continues to fall on most people's draft boards, it's very surprising. Just because of his size, I don't feel like size is as big as a factor for the type of player that he is and the type of things that he does well. So I don't write him off because of his size. I don't write him off because where he plays for, like Alabama, the super powerhouse that Alabama is. I feel like this year, Mac Jones is a decent quarterback, but he's not a stud quarterback. And I feel like Devonta Smith was able to do what he did this year and win the Heisman with a decent quarterback at best. And I feel like that just goes to show how great of a player Devonta Smith really is and how big of an impact he has on a team. And I feel like if he was drafted by the Eagles, he would be like he would change our offense completely. We would run bubble screens galore. We would get him in open space as much as we could. And I guarantee you he would take a good amount of those to the house. So I feel like he would be a good draft pick at 12 for the Eagles.
As you said, he's an overall game changer. I really like him. If he's there at 12, I almost want to say you got to take him over Horn. That's just me personally, though. I mean, I know I put it in my big board, but that's what the me being trying to be realistic and saying Smith doesn't fall there. If I were in that draft room, it would be a very hard decision for me to make. I'll just leave it at that. I think you also have to look at another his counterpart at Alabama, which Alabama's crazy wide receiver powerhouse now, Jalen Waddle. This is another guy. He's coming off an injury, but I don't know if that's really going to change much. Jalen Waddle's a freak athlete, has the speed that you want out of, you know, in today's NFL. He's a guy who's going to be able to, you know, outrun cornerbacks at 5'10", 182. Not huge size, but, you know, he's got the speed. If he never got hurt, he'd probably go for a lot more yards and a lot more touchdowns. But that ankle injury really set him back. Henry, will that affect him in the NFL?
I wouldn't write him off because of his ankle injury, honestly. I think he's strong enough, with his mind and his body, that where he can overcome that. And I think when you're drafting Waddle, he's the deep threat that the Eagles need after losing a player like DeSean Jackson. He's the guy who's going to take the top off the defense. Although he's not as overall rounded as Devontae Smith is, he's still a playmaker and he can make plays for you in tough situations. And I feel like that ankle injury is just going to be the start of a very long, successful career for him. And I don't think it's something to write him off because of it.
Now, do you still draft him even though you drafted Rager last season?
I think in the way that the NFL is going, speed is key. Speed wins. So, like, you see what the Chiefs have done simply. They've loaded up on speed with Mecole, Tyreek, and some of the other fast guys they have there, and to see the success that they had. So speed kills. So if you're drafting fast guys like you are with Rager and Waddle, you're not gonna be like, oh, they're not gonna work together because they're both fast guys. The more speed you can have on a team, the better. So I would draft Waddle even with us drafting Rager last year, because although they don't necessarily complement each other, it's all the speed that the Eagles can get will take, because speed and key and play and deep threats and deep bombs are a thing that open up games. When you're behind in games, a deep bomb can completely change the momentum. And I feel like that's what the Eagles have been missing the last couple of years. So I feel like I would draft them even with Rager.
Yeah, and just moving on to some of the other wide receivers in this class who, you know, if we don't want to go wide receiver in the first round, second or even late first, second, third round wide receivers you could get. Rashad Bateman, who's probably the biggest guy in this draft. Good size, could be a pure number one wide receiver in this league. 6'2", 210. He's a great route runner. Elijah Moore from Ole Miss. He's somebody you could probably steal in the early second round. He's one of those guys. He's got speed to him. He's a great athlete, and he's one of those guys who could excel in the slot. Terrence Marshall, who's another guy a lot of people are speaking about, 6'3", out of LSU. Could he be another LSU star? I mean, you had Justin Jefferson come out last year. He's played really well this year. You're going to have Ja'Marr Chase coming out this year, who's arguably the best wide receiver in this draft. And then you got Terrence Marshall, who, honestly, he could be just as good as, like, say, a Justin Jefferson. I wouldn't sleep on him. You got Rondale Moore, who's a really good player, another small guy, but he can make his own in this league. Kadarius Toney, a guy I really like. I would say Kadarius Toney is arguably the most explosive player in this draft. And I was actually reading something today that people are saying Kadarius Toney could go at that number 12 pick if the Eagles really like him enough. Which I don't have him going there, but if he can come in and prove himself, I think he's arguably the most explosive player in this draft. If he proves himself in the NFL, then I guess I was wrong. But yeah, those are some great players who I think could, you know, be a second or third round option for the Eagles. I wouldn't necessarily look at quarterback that early this year. Neither would I look at running back. Another player I just want to finish us off with to end it. Possibility of trading up if somebody falls. Henry, say Kyle Pitts falls to 7 or 8. Are you willing to trade up to get him?
See, if he falls to 7 or 8, I feel like you kind of have to. Because what pick do the Cowboys have again? They have 10, correct?
Yeah, I believe it's 10.
So if you can't let – I don't care who you are. You can't let Kyle Pitts fall into your own division, because Kyle Pitts is going to be one of them tight ends that's going to change the league, in my opinion. He's going to be a generational-type talent. And if you see him fall into the Cowboys, who are in desperate need of a tight end that right now, I feel like it's just you can't let that happen. You have to move up and make that trade and draft yourself Kyle Pitts. And sure, you're going to give up some assets, but you're going to get back way a lot more talent than you would have been able to draft with those picks, because Kyle Pitts is all that and more. So I feel like you kind of have to trade up if he's there at 8 or 9 or even 7, in my opinion. So if he's there, You have to try to make a move for him.
Yeah, Kyle Pitts, another great tight end out of Florida. Arguably, probably, a lot of people are saying it now, he's probably the best player in this draft. A lot of people are saying this is going to be the guy who's going to make the Hall of Fame, and he's going to be the guy who changes the game, which I kind of agree with. I like him. If you watch his tape, the guy's... He's not a tight end, but he's not a wide receiver. He's a beast. He's a monster. I don't know what category you put him in. He has to be in a category of his own. That's probably the only tight end I would actually take in this draft. If say you get rid of Zach Ertz and you have a Dallas Goedert, you match those two up. But if you wanted to run a one tight end set, you can take a Pitts and you can put him out wide. It's quite the crazy idea, but it's the reality we're going to live in if we draft him. And I would love that reality, but it would require trading up, and I don't know. I hope it happens. Will it happen, though? We'll never know.
I think, overall, if you do trade up to get Kyle Pitts, that means you're most likely moving on from Zach Ertz. And I feel like, I think the NFL is what Kyle Pitts is going to be heading into a situation where you're not seeing the traditional line or tight end where they're blocking and then they go out and catch a ball once in a while. You saw it a little bit with Evan Ingram, but they're going to be more hybrid, more fast, deep threat kind of do everything type of tight ends that Kyle Pitts is, and I feel like he's going to change the way that football is viewed from that tight end position.
Yeah, and just to wrap it up, a few more players who you could end up taking. And this is just focusing on tackles. Penei Sewell, if he fell to 7 or 8, Henry, what are you looking at? Would you trade up for him?
I think Penei Sewell is going to be gone way before that. But if he happens to fall, and depending on how much you're giving up, I would not be against getting Penei Sewell, because Penei Sewell is probably the best tackle and best offensive lineman in this draft, and he can be a generational talent if you can develop him properly. So I feel like, and we have a little bit of a hole at tackle right now with Jason Peters on the way out. We have Dillard, but he's been up and down the last couple of years, and Lane Johnson's even getting old. So, and I feel like Penei is like a player that can play in multiple positions. So I feel like if you have the opportunity to get him and you're not giving up as much, not giving up that much value, I feel like you have to pull that trigger also.
And then at number 12 pick, I don't like it, but it's just an option. How would you feel about the tackle out of Northwestern, Rashawn Slater?
I feel like if you're not getting that top guy in Sewell, I don't think it's worth drafting anyone else at tackle or offensive line, because we're not far gone enough to where we need we're in desperate need for offensive line help. Like, sure, we're in the next few years we're going to need to address the offensive line, but right now we still have a pretty good one of the best offensive lines with Lane Johnson, Dillard, Brandon Brooks if he comes back healthy, and then who knows if Kelsey's playing another year. I don't know if he's confirmed or not that he's playing again, but we have still have Kelsey there. And I feel like overall we still have a pretty good O-line, the great O-line, and I don't think we have different, more bigger needs to address at 12 if we don't. And although I do agree that trading up for Penne would be a good deal, but he's a generational type talent, and I don't think you're getting that in Slater. So I wouldn't like that.
Yeah, I would have to agree with you there. Overall, I think it's a solid draft class. I think in the first round, there's plenty of good talent you can get at 12, or if you wanted to trade up. Overall, I think it's a successful offseason so far. Hopefully this draft is just as successful, but I guess we won't know until this season starts. So, to wrap it all up for Philly Sportsline, first episode, I've been your host, Michael Carney, along with my co-host, Henry Kern. Who knows, maybe we'll see you back for a second episode. Thanks for listening, and have a great one.